May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. John Paul Kendall Remillard had philosophical difficulties with the concept of Christmas. So wrote Julian May in her first book of a trilogy called The Galactic Milieu. The book was called Jack the Bodiless. Remillard goes on to say, "It seems a very strange and unnecessary thing for God to do, to become human so that we'd love him rather than fear him. If he's truly a supreme being, then it follows that he has no need for any other entity to ensure his own happiness, especially entities that are so imperfect by their very nature that they will inevitably be foul and otherwise orderly creation." Now, it should be noted here that this character goes on to mutate into some kind of purely mental being. At any rate, John Paul goes on to add, "I can understand God creating the physical universe for fun, but why create other beings when you know they're going to mess up?" Now, in this conversation, he's talking to his mother. His mother's name is Teresa. And Teresa responds, "I believe famous human thinkers have debated these thoughts. I seem to remember that early theologians were quite positive that God had no absolute need to create other thinking persons." That's perfectly ridiculous, of course, since theologians were willing to concede that he had done it and must have had a good reason. Now, unless we're ready to submit that a supreme being can be capricious or wishy-washy, it follows that God needed to do it. He did need us. "But what prompted God's need of us?" says John Paul. "Love," said Teresa. "That's irrational." Exactly. But love is the only motive that seems to make sense. Now, if God wanted us to know that he created us out of a sense of love, he'd have to tell us, since we couldn't figure it out for ourselves. He'd have to get directly involved with us rather than let us tick along obliviously. God's most elegant way of involving himself with us would necessarily have to be a scandal to the stodgy-minded and delight to minds that have a sense of humor and of an adventure, just as his mind does. But to create for love seems so odd. Of course it does. It truly makes no sense in a rational view of the universe. And yet, every artist knows the truth of it. Now, we don't have to imagine ourselves in a future world or visit an extraterrestrial outpost to acknowledge the wild, irrational truth of the very gospel we affirm. that the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. On this day, we celebrate the irrationality of this season, as in this beautiful observation by Madeleine Lengel. This is the irrational season, when love blooms bright and wild. Had Mary been filled with reason, there'd have been no room for the child. So, if we cannot explain how it is that God loves us enough to bring us into being, how God extended to us the very presence of his eternal Son, how God continues to bear with us in this millennium of chaos and uncertainty, it's no wonder. Who could explain rationally the artist's lines and brushstrokes, the glow that seems to come from something behind the paint itself, the mysterious edges of a painted scene that fade off from view? Perhaps we do best by simply recounting the truth of the exquisite work that God has done for us, a truth we celebrate by pulling out all the stops in this glorious season and described so well by the author of the letter of the Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains us all by his wonderful word. Who could ever explain such a thing? Robert Farrar Capon has written in his book, The Romance of the Word, of what he calls his bright idea of saving all Orthodox theology and all the problems of the modern criticisms of it in one fell swoop. He says if God in Christ didn't do the job of saving the world in a way we can see, he did it in a way we can't see, in the mystery of the incarnation of Christ. And Capon's rhetorical device for effecting his solution is to take the standard Catholic notion of sacrament and rework it and extend it. He begins by saying that a sacrament is never a transaction. When we receive Christ's body and blood in the Eucharist, it's not as though we didn't have it before. We do not receive an accretion of Jesus, he insists, like going to a filling station and filling up your gas tank. However lost we may feel, Jesus never leaves us. In fact, playfully painting his own theological picture, Capon says we must affirm regarding the sacrament that it's a party the church is already at, and not some limousine to bring Jesus to the church's door. Likewise, in the other sacraments, the church doesn't take Jesus to what Capon calls the heathen. Jesus, because he is God, is already intimately and immediately present in the heathen before we arrive. For Capon, salvation through Christ is no remedy offered by God late in the game, but rather the grand mystery underlying all our history. This is a message we bear. And it's this grand mystery that we celebrate today, once again, in song and word and in sacrament. In grateful joy that flows forth too grand to be contained in a single day, a week, or even a life. It's the joy of being loved, of having been chosen in some mysterious fashion that illuminates our life and gives us courage for what may lie ahead. It's the hope of growing in that light as we journey forward, bearing the truth of Christ wherever we may go. It's the connection that we experience in our hearts, our relationship to God and to each other as members of the body of Christ. That mysterious entity that describes us and connects us and sustains us. And so we can say to the mystery of the incarnation, along with the poet Richard Crashaw, welcome all wonders in one sight, eternity shut in a span, summer in winter, day in night, heaven and earth, and God in man. Great little one, whose all-embracing birth lifts earth to heaven, stoops heaven to earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.